Welcome to the online ministry of Pacific Beach United Methodist Church, located in beautiful San Diego, California. Pacific Beach UMC is a member of the Reconciling Ministries Network and welcomes persons of all ages and backgrounds for worship, study, and service opportunities. More information can be found on our website at pbumc.org. May you be enriched by the hearing of these words, and may you receive and enjoy God's blessing.
Good morning. My name is Shannon Peterson, and I will be your worship leader this morning. Today's scripture reading comes from Genesis chapter 17, verses 1 through 7 and 15 through 16. When Abram was 99 years old, the Lord appeared to him and said, "I am God Almighty. Walk before me faithfully and be blameless. Then I will make my covenant between me and you and will greatly increase your numbers." Abram fell face down, and God said to him, "As for me, this is my covenant with you. You will be father of many nations. No longer will you be called Abram. Your name will be Abraham, for I have made you a father of many nations. I will make you very fruitful. I will make nations of you, and kings will come from you. I will establish my covenant as an everlasting covenant between me and you and your descendants after you, for the generations to come, to be your God and the God of your descendants after you." God also said to Abraham, "As for Sarai, your wife, you are no longer to call her Sarai. Her name will be Sarah. I will bless her and will surely give you a son by her. I will bless her so that she will be the mother of nations. Kings of peoples will come from her."
As many of you know, throughout the season of Lent, we're sharing a variety of different spiritual practices that can support our growth in relationship with God, self, and others. Adam and I are recording videos about each practice and sharing them via the weekly flock note that's published every Thursday. I want to let you know that we've also gotten that video series connected to our website. You can find it under the Studies and Groups section of what we do at www.pbumc.org. We'll be sharing a total of 6 different practices, and I hope that you'll try one or more of them on for size to see if there's something that might bring insight or a gift or a new perspective in your spiritual life this season of Lent. We know that some of these practices may seem a little bit challenging and unfamiliar at first, maybe for a lot of different reasons, but I encourage you to stay open, to be persistent, as we've inherited these tools for a reason from generations of faithful folks who have gone before us. You're also welcome to join us on Monday evening for a small group discussion about each practice as we share our experience of it or questions about it and reflections. And this week's spiritual practice, I'll say just briefly, is called spiritual geographying. It's a form of life review that invites us to look back over the whole of our lives to observe the highs and the lows and the possible patterns and correlations between those highs and lows. It's a great way to look at the big picture of the journey of our lifetimes and to reflect on how God has been at work in the midst of it all along. Something that's sometimes hard to see in the moment, but that can often be seen more clearly in retrospect. And it made sense to pair this particular practice with this second week of Lent as we spend some time with the story of Abraham and Sarah. Because, oh, what a journey they had, right? Now that's a story to look back on and tell to your grandchildren. You might be familiar with it. God called Abram and Sarai out of their homeland and promised them that they would have a new land, that they would be a great nation with many descendants. They went in faith, trusting the promise, but then struggled a bit when year after year after year, they remained unable to have children. Abram and Sarai took matters into their own hands and hatched a plan that Hagar, an Egyptian slave, would bear Abram's child in order to give Abram the long anticipated and much desired heir. Abram was 86 when Hagar gave birth to Ishmael. Again, there was a long stretch of time, 13 years. And while Abram finally had an heir by way of Hagar, not a lot else had changed. Abram and Sarai certainly didn't have ancestors so abundant that they were like the stars of the sky or the grains of sand by the seashore. But that's when we get to our section of scripture for today. God comes again and addresses Abram, this time telling him that God would make a covenant with him and Sarai, and that Sarai would have a son, and that this lineage would give rise to nations, not by way of Hagar and Ishmael, but by way of Sarai, who was then already 90 years old. So here they were, Abram, 100, and Sarai, 90, having held this promise of progeny for many, many years, and it was finally coming to fruition. And as a part of this new aspect of the covenant between God and God's people, a really tender and intimate thing happened. God changed Abram's and Sarai's names. Abram became Abraham, meaning father of a multitude, and Sarai became Sarah, meaning princess. And this was no small matter. You may be familiar with other name changes in the Bible. Jacob wrestled with the angel and then became Israel. Saul, after his conversion, became Paul. Names have deep meaning and associations. They are profoundly tied to a person's identity. That was true then, and it's still true now. I imagine that all of you have named something or someone else in your lifetime. A stuffed animal, a plant, a car, a pet, a person. I can tell you that I've spent a ridiculous amount of time researching and testing and trying names for various critters who have been a part of my life. I had a lop-eared rabbit in college who I finally decided to name Hannah. She was adorable, really looked like a Hannah to me. Hannah, time would tell, turned out to be a male rabbit, apparently something that's difficult to tell when they're babies. No matter, the name stuck. She was Hannah. And for those of you who have had the privilege and responsibility of naming a person, I can't imagine the pressure. I remember my sister and brother-in-law agonizing over names for my nephews. They looked at baby books. They did research on the internet. They accepted suggestions from future grandma and grandpas, aunts and uncles. In their selection process, they tried to think of any potential way that a name might be twisted around to taunt or to tease. They looked at initials to make sure that they wouldn't spell anything bad or funny or embarrassing. And all of that effort is important. We understand it because names can shape us in both positive and negative ways. Hurtful, maybe careless childhood nicknames have remained with some of us for a long, long time. Names can also be used in downright purposeful and insidious ways to diminish or control others. I watched a preview of an interview with one of the guards who was on Capitol Hill on January 6th. He told of the racial slurs that were slung at him repeatedly on that day. And he's the officer who was quoted as asking, "Is this America? Is this America?" And I'll never forget the story of Elizabeth Smart, who was found after being abducted and held captive for 9 months. I know many of you remember her story. Her captor, Brian David Mitchell, forced her to relinquish anything that would associate her with her previous life, including her name. And while Mitchell wanted her to take the name Shir Jashub from the book of Isaiah, Elizabeth insisted on taking the biblical name Esther, a character of strength and courage. That was the name she responded to when she was finally found and rescued. When asked her name by the authorities, she said, "Esther." Mitchell tried to use a name change against her to control her, and she found a way to claim a name that allowed her to hold on to a small sense of power, I imagine, and an abiding sense of hope. And just as names can be used to tear people down, they can also, of course, be used to support or build people up. I think some of the more tender issues around names and naming that I've encountered over this past decade have been with folks who have been exploring and discovering their gender identities. As friends have come to know and express themselves in ways that are different from what was assigned to them in their childhood, they've navigated the incredible challenges of all kinds of change. And sometimes that has involved a change of names as well. I'm mindful of how meaningful it is for someone to claim a new name, a new identity that feels genuine, that feels true. And I'm also mindful of moms and dads of those individuals who lovingly, carefully, purposefully gave a name to their child at the time of their birth. It has moved me deeply to see some of those moms and dads doing the hard work of releasing that beloved name given by them and taking up the new name, the chosen name, as an act of love and commitment to their child. Names are complicated, and they are oh so important. So when God gives a person a new name, that matters. And as I think about name changes in the Bible, it seems to me that new names signal at least two things. The first of those things is a new or a renewed sense of belonging. Names say a lot about who we are and to whom or what we belong. There used to be a magazine called Alive Now, and in it I remember reading a great story about a clergywoman, Phyllis Tyler, who was from our annual conference. She shared a part of her story in that magazine, saying, "It was truly by the grace of God and the loving hands of many people that I was rescued from a precarious life and invited to become part of a family. My mother died when I was 4, and for 2 years I roamed about the small town of Custer, South Dakota. I received some guidance from my grandmother, but she was very old and not well. I searched through the garbage cans for food and often slept on pool tables in saloons where I was taken by my stepfather. Then I was placed in a series of foster homes. I remember staying with a farm family that received funds from the state for my care. They seated me at a table away from the family and gave me leftovers after the family finished. At the age of 6, weighing only 25 pounds, I suffered from malnutrition. an act of God brought together Ruby Nichols and Floyd Eugene Tyler, my last foster family. They had both been raised on farms in rural South Dakota, Ruby near Custer in the Black Hills in the west, and Floyd along with eight brothers in the eastern part of the state near a town called Crooks. During World War II, they both served in the armed forces. In 1951, after living for a year with Ruby and Floyd, I was given a choice. It was a warm day in July, and the three of us were at the home of a judge who sat in a wheelchair. He looked at me and said, "Phyllis Fisher, would you like these two people to be your parents?" "Yes, yes, yes," I gleefully exclaimed as I danced around the judge's chair. "Then your new name is Phyllis Tyler," he said with judicial authority. Phyllis goes on to say, "I was given a new name, a new life, and a new hope on that day. I was brought from death to life, from no home to a home, from no family to a family. Even though I was quite young, from that moment, I understood the grace of God." Abraham and Sarah were given new names, new identities, a new sense of belonging to God and the family of faith. Phyllis was given a new name, a new identity, a new sense of belonging to God and the family of faith. In and through our baptism, in and through our participation in a faith community, we are given a new name, child of God, sibling in Christ. We are given a new identity, a new sense of belonging to God and the family of faith. And so I simply remind us today, in a COVID season that has often made us feel disconnected, unsure of where we belong, that we belong here, in the heart of God, in the fellowship of the body of Christ. You always belong, no matter how old or young, good or bad, broken or fixed, hopeful or hopeless, happy or sad. You are a child of God and you belong. And when we claim that reality for ourselves, when we accept our name, our identity, our belonging in God, we are then invited to be a part of something much larger than ourselves. When Abraham and Sarah received new names, they found a new sense of belonging, and their lives were woven into a larger purpose, into God's purposes. And they were able to do amazing things. They laughed when God first told them the things that they'd do. The Bible tells us that they fell down on the ground and laughed. Our lectionary reading, unfortunately, leaves that verse out. But it's important to know they thought they were done approaching the finish line. They believed that they were nearly unusable. But God gave them a new name, a new identity, a new purpose, a new role in God's efforts to save, to love, and to redeem all of God's people. They accepted, they leaned in with faith, and it made all the difference in the world. God hasn't stopped passing out new names. God offers us a new name, a new identity, a new purpose, a new role in God's efforts to save, to love, and to redeem all of God's people. God hopes that we will accept, that we will lean in with faith, knowing that it could make all the difference in our world and in the world around us. So if you've tuned in this morning not sure if you belong, don't hold back any longer. Come on in, virtual space though it may be, with all your heart and all your mind and all your soul. You are a child of God, and you belong. And if you've tuned in this morning feeling just about unusable, maybe too young, too old, too shy, too angry, too sick, too inexperienced, too broken, too worn out, if you've come here this morning feeling unusable in any way, set that feeling aside if you're able. Drop it at the virtual door on your way out. Remember that you are a part of a covenant people now and always. You belong to God and in the family of faith. And chuckle a little if you must. Fall down and laugh if you need to. But know that God will use you. God will use us in some amazing ways to bless and to serve and to grow the family of faith. Thanks be to God for such an amazing journey. Amen. Let us quiet our hearts and our minds and turn to God in trust and in hope as we go to God in this time of prayer. Will you pray with me? Loving and gracious God, we come together for worship, mindful of the great expanse of your love and grace that sustain us in the midst of the living of these days. We are grateful for this place of gathering, not yet in body, but very much in heart and soul and spirit. We are thankful for a gathering space that invites us to offer our praise, to grow in relationship with you and one another, and to be a part of a community that is ever living into being a place of love and belonging for all. We pray for the ongoing, efficient, and effective rollout of COVID-19 vaccinations. Grateful for each shot received, we rejoice in each one as a sign of recovery and hope. We pray for those individuals within our community and those around the world who have much more limited access to vaccines and to the healthcare support they need. We pray not only for access for the most vulnerable among us, but we pray for tangible ways we can support that spirit and effort locally and around the globe. We thank you for the journeys of our lives, for all that has brought us to this place. We are ever grateful that in loving and being loved by you, we are able to shed names and labels that have wounded or diminished us and taken on new names that bring us joy and light and life. You call us beloved, child, beautiful, precious. Help us to see ourselves and one another through your loving lens, that we might call one another by those names as well in all we say and do. We pray these things in the name of Jesus, who taught us to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.